digital LEDs pulse and flicker, finally resting on the number 24.
Previously on 24.
Call the cabinet in for emergency session. Tell General White we are ramping up.
Congratulations, Thomas. An excellent plan.
About time someone in this administration stood up to these people.
Thank you very much, Mr. Vice President.
The American Muslim community is our best line of defense against these terrorists. Your plan would only hinder the efforts of law enforcement to stop fire.
I remain convinced
that implementing this plan would be a terrible mistake.
15 minutes ago, the NSA picked up a conversation between McCarthy and Fayyad. McCarthy's found another engineer to arm the four remaining nukes.
Oh my God, it's Morris.
Morris, it's a setup. The engineer McCarthy's looking for, it's you.
Get out of the car or the next one's in your head.
We're on our way.
We'll be waiting.
With my money?
You get paid as soon as I have what I want.
I'm just delivering him.
You'll have to make him cooperate.
How do I find McCarthy? 4 cc's.
His vitals are spiking across the line.
4 cc's! Don't. No, nothing to do with McCarthy.
It has to do with Palmer.
David Palmer. I gave the order for his assassination.
Not only was he responsible for David Palmer's assassination,
he directed the entire conspiracy. He was trying to protect my father's company.
Dad.
Told him about Palmer.
Yeah, I had to give him something to make him think I cracked, but I kept you out of it. Dad, stick to the plan.
Sometimes you have to make adjustments.
My son's had a seizure!
If you people killed my son, you're gonna regret it for the rest of your life.
The following takes place between 1 p.m. and 2 p.m.
Oh, yes, Jack. I'm en route to the ambush site. You need to tell me which direction they took Morris.
I'm bringing it up now. Jack, what are they going to do to him?
Chloe, they have to keep him alive long enough to try and make the bombs operational. That means we've got time. I need you to remain calm and pull up the satellite now.
I'm trying. The server's not responding.
That's because you're not resyncing the coordinates correctly.
I know what I'm doing.
Nadia approaches Bill and hands him a file. He looks at it gravely.
Confirm this with a field team.
Yes. Jack's on line one.
Bill moves slowly and as if sadly towards the phone.
Jack, it's Bill. We just got word from the field team at your brother's house. Graham's dead, Jack.
Jack's head jerks in shock.
What happened?
We'll know more after an autopsy.
All signs point to cardiac arrest.
Because of the interrogation.
The medic on site believes that was a factor.
My father, no.
Yes, he was there. But your sister-in-law and nephew were already en route to CTU when it happened.
Bill, I'd really appreciate it if you would be the one to break the news to her.
Of course, Jack.
Yes, sir.
Stand by.
Chloe's starting to screw up. She's worried about Morris. I think she's losing it.
Bill moves purposefully across to Chloe's workstation.
Chloe, have you accessed the uplink yet?
Not yet.
Listen, I know what you must be feeling, but if there's a problem...
Get away from me. There's not a problem. The only problem is people like you bothering me when I'm trying to do my job.
Chloe, give up the post to Milo.
Leave me alone. I can do this.
No.
Jack, I've had to relieve Chloe. She's too distraught to function. You're on with Marlon.
Jack, just give me a second.
Bill looks solicitously across to where Chloe stands in the corner.
Okay, I got McCarthy on satellite 13 minutes ago abducting Morris in a silver Maserati at the corner of Central and 3rd. I'm tracking them to their current position. All right now McCarthy's at Adams and 13th heading west.
Copy that. We should have a visual in the next couple minutes. How long is it going to take the TAC teams to intercept McCarthy on the ground?
I don't know, Jack. We'll get back to you.
The silver Maserati screeches around a corner. At the wheel is McCarthy's girlfriend, Rita.
Where are we taking him?
Fayyad will call soon. Just relax. Drive.
I am relaxed. Just want to get this over with.
It's never going to be over.
CTU knows who you are. They're already looking for you.
Shut up.
Is that possible?
Don't listen to him. He's bluffing.
So you're not Darren McCarthy, arms dealer, subcontracted by BXJ Technologies. CTU intercepted a transmission about Fayed hiring you to do this.
I said shut up!
We're handing him over to Fayed as planned. If I'm already a marked man, you may as well get paid for it.
Not me.
You didn't say they know about you. And anyway, I'll take care of you like always. Chopper. That's the chopper.
McCarthy pulls back the sunroof and looks upwards.
I got him. I got him. We got a visual.
Turn left.
But why?
Just do what I say. Just do it.
Rita complies, narrowly avoiding another car as she does a U-turn back up the freeway.
Swing back. They just took off. They must have spotted us.
All right, I got them turning north onto Anders.
106. Rita drives wildly, a worried look on her face. She weaves and veers among the traffic. McCarthy still holds the gun on Morris.
Go around him.
No!
Go around them!
What?
What are you doing?
Rita is now in the opposite carriageway and dodging oncoming cars.
Oh my God.
Her eyes widen in terror as a truck crosses the junction ahead. She manages to swerve clear and back onto the right side.
Are they still there?
Yes. Turn there.
We got a problem up here. They're headed for the 110 interchange.
Jack's helicopter hovers above a huge multi-leveled spaghetti junction-style motorway interchange. Jack scans it intently for the car.
Damn it, we just lost him. Does Caltrans have any cameras that are covering that area?
No, nothing. Attack team is still 5 minutes away.
Captain, I want you to put me down now.
McCarthy gets out from the Maserati, now parked up beneath a concrete flyover. He inspects the other vehicles parked there. He picks up a rock. Morris to Rita.
Do you know what this is about?
They watch as McCarthy gets into the flatbed truck.
Fayed, the man you're taking me to, is the terrorist who set off the nuclear bomb in Valencia. He has 4 more bombs, but he needs me to make them work so that he can kill tens of thousands of innocent people. And all you have to do to stop that from happening is to uncuff me. McCarthy's right. CTU doesn't know you exist. For the love of God, all of those people's lives are on you.
The blue CTU chopper in which Jack is riding causes heads to turn as it descends among the concrete columns and levels of the interchange. Jack removes his headset and prepares to get out as the pilot skillfully lands the aircraft on the roofs of 2 adjacent lorries. Jack leaps out. 108. He jumps down onto the roof of the lorry cab, and then onto a lower vehicle, and finally onto the roadway. McCarthy hurries back to the Maserati.
Let's go. Come on. Move it. This way.
Can I get my luggage?
Forget about the luggage. Come on.
Rita follows McCarthy as he hustles Morris out of the car and into the cab of the hijacked flatbed truck.
You did not tell me this is about nuclear bombs.
What this is about is about $7 million. Now get in the truck!
Morris sits in the cab, gazing intently at Rita. She, however, climbs in next to McCarthy, who races away. Jack runs around the corner moments later. Seeing the Maserati, he levels his gun at it, only to find it empty. He spots the empty space where the flatbed was and makes a call on his mobile.
Pressman, they dumped the car. They must have switched vehicles.
From the underpass, they could have merged directly onto any one of 6 local roads or highways. There's just no way of tracking them without knowing exactly what vehicle they're in.
Damn it, Milo, they could be anywhere. Just find them and get back to me.
The TAC team SUVs pull up. Jack jumps into one. Milo turns to see Chloe looking at him in despair.
I'm sorry.
Morris sits grimly in the back of the flatbed cab as McCarthy drives at speed. McCarthy answers his mobile.
Hello.
I have a new place for us to meet. It is certainly not being followed.
Yeah. What's the address?
4332 Florence Avenue, apartment 621.
You got my money?
Yes.
Okay. Turn on the GPS.
1:10, the stolen truck pulls hastily to a stop at the curbside in a suburban housing estate. Rita presses buttons on the sat-nav.
Apartment 621, all right? Don't forget it.
Rita and Morris exchange a meaningful look.
Okay, good. It's not too far.
Morris seems momentarily shocked as Rita shoots McCarthy twice, spattering blood onto the driver's window. Leaning across, she opens the door and unceremoniously tips his corpse out onto the roadway.
Yes! Thank God. A bit excessive, but you did the right thing. Now, I've got to contact CTU and give them...
Shut up!
Tired? Once you alive, in whatever shape you're in beyond that, is up to you.
Oh, come on. What are you doing?
I am making $7 million. And I can spend it without having to worry about CTU. Like you said, they don't even know I exist.
Morris's face contorts in anguish. 1:11. End of part one. Part two. 1:16. President Palmer sits in the meeting room with Tom Lennox.
Listen. I know you think I'm wrong, and that I blindsided you by not backing your proposals.
Correct on both counts, sir.
Tom, I have always valued your counsel. Ever since you showed up at my home and convinced me to run, spearheaded my campaign, I mean, if it weren't for you, I wouldn't be here. But I do hope I can still count on you to help me implement my policies.
Excuse me, Mr. President. The plane carrying Omri al-Assad has landed at Andrews Air Force Base. He'll be here soon.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
We'll talk later.
Palmer exits, leaving Lennox alone in the conference room. He weighs his briefing document in his hand, then tosses it dismissively onto the table. He walks out into the corridor. He enters a side room where sits his aide, Reed. Lennox's rage spills over, and he sweeps his hand across a desk full of stuff.
Mr. Lennox?
Everything's okay. We're fine in here. Thank you. What happened?
The president just rejected every one of my proposals right there in front of the cabinet. Not only has he changed his mind on the internment plan, he is rolling back on the detention facilities that are already in place.
I thought he was on board.
Well, so did I. No, he's putting forth his own agenda to try and appease the Muslim population.
Is he hoping that they're going to cooperate and help find the nuclear weapons?
That's it. That's it. And all he will succeed in doing is to prove to the terrorists that he does not have the stomach to do what is necessary and inevitable.
Okay. Then you need to use your influence to change his mind.
My influence? You don't get it, do you, Reed? I have no influence. Not here. Not in this administration. No, I'm resigning.
That would be a terrible mistake.
My mistake was to believe that Wayne Palmer has the courage and the vision to fill this office. Clearly, I overestimated him. He is certainly not his brother.
Which makes it all the more important that you stay. Sir, you have the support of a great many people here, the least of which is the vice president.
Well, unfortunately, the vice president is not the one in power. And this country is being led to slaughter. By the man who is. No, I cannot in good conscience be party to this. I can't.
Sir, this is a terrible mistake.
I cannot talk about this any further. Go now and draft my letter of resignation and bring it back to me now for me to sign.
Yes, sir.
Reed leaves Lennox, whose eyes still burn with outrage. Outside, Reed makes a call.
Yes?
Yeah, it's Reed. Palmer just shot down the Lennox plan in the cabinet meeting.
He's rejecting every one of the initiatives.
Did you hear what I said?
I heard.
Looks like we have no choice. We'll have to move ahead with what we all talked about. I realize it's extreme, but under the circumstances, I don't see any alternative. Do you?
No, but there's a problem. Tom Lennox is resigning.
When?
As soon as I write his letter of resignation. Carson, if he goes, I lose my job and I lose my access.
Our plan is contingent on your proximity to the president. We need you in place.
I know. I am very well aware of that. But Tom Lennox is determined to quit.
You might reconsider if he knew it was coming.
I suppose I could feel him out.
Then do it. Carefully.
We have to protect ourselves.
Reed folds up his phone and steels himself. Images of road networks flash onto Milo's screen.
Anything come up on Caltrans?
Without knowing what vehicle McCarthy switched into, it's going to take hours to scan through all these frame grabs.
We're staying on it right now. That's all we've got.
Bill looks up and sees Marilyn and Josh.
Mrs. Bauer.
Yes.
I'm Bill Buchanan, Director of Operations. You must be Josh. May I speak with you a moment? Privately?
It's okay, Mom.
Okay.
Josh remains on his own, looking around as Bill leads Marilyn into one of the glass-walled side offices. 121.
What is it?
I'm very sorry to have to tell you this. Your husband is dead.
How?
He appears to have suffered a heart attack.
What did Jack do to him?
I assure you there'll be a thorough investigation. Your father-in-law is accompanying Graham's body here for an autopsy, unless you have an objection.
No.
Marilyn appears personally okay with the news, but gazes out at Josh.
I have to tell my son.
Of course.
Bill comes out from the office and crosses to Josh.
Josh, your mother wants to speak with you.
Bill watches as Josh heads into the side office. The boy walks up to his mother. She holds his shoulders.
What? No. No.
Pressman.
It's Jack. Let me speak to Buchanan.
Hold on.
Sir.
Jack's on the line.
Jack.
Bill, we found McCarthy's body less than 3 blocks away from the interchange. We intercepted a call from LAPD. Witness said the shooter was a female, drove off with a male fitting Morris's description in a silver pickup.
Did the witness get a license plate?
No. But McCarthy received a call just about 5 minutes ago. Caller ID is blocked. I need you to trace the source of the call.
You think the call came from Fayed?
Yeah.
I'll give it to Milo as soon as you upload the phone's data.
It's on its way.
122. Rita leads Morris at gunpoint along a down-at-heel hallway on which several bikes are parked. She stops in front of a doorway.
What do you want?
I'm Darren McCarthy's associate. I've got your package.
They are admitted, and Rita finds herself instantly disarmed and pushed against the wall to be frisked. When Fayed's men are satisfied, she is unarmed. She is allowed through into Fayed's presence.
Who are you? Where's McCarthy?
He's waiting to hear from me. If he doesn't get the money, he gives you up.
This is the engineer.
Uh-huh.
Look, this... I don't know what you're talking about. I'm just a data analyst. You've got the wrong man.
Fayed punches Morris, who is then led off and sat down in an armchair.
Look, I brought you what you want. Just give me the money and I'll go.
You'll get your money when this man completes his task. You work at CTU, so you know I have 4 nuclear suitcase bombs in my possession. You may also know these bombs need to be reprogrammed before I can use them. You are here to create a device that will allow me to do so.
Bloody likely, mate.
Fayed nods to one of his heavies. Rita looks on uncomfortably as Morris keels over and sprawls on the floor with the force of the blow to his head. Fayed picks up an electronic device and sits by Morris.
You're going to modify this so that I can use it to reprogram the bombs.
No, I'm not.
Fayed gets up coolly with a nod to his men and crosses to where Rita stands looking nervous. One of Fayed's men raises a baseball bat. She winces and turns away. ...129. Jack stands near McCarthy's shrouded body.
Bill, what's happening with the phone trace?
Marlowe's still working on it, Jack.
Why is it taking so long?
Checking into it now.
Nadia hurries across to Milo.
Milo, what's your status?
All I've got is that the call was made from a landline. The number was routed through at least a dozen different servers, and they keep cycling back on each other. Come on.
Are you going to be able to do this?
Milo, let me try. I know I screwed up earlier. I wasn't thinking clearly, but let me try this. I can do it.
Number strings are caught in a loop matrix.
Did you try running a SATCOM overlay filter?
No, that only works on cell-to-cell communications. This call is placed from a hardline.
Well, NSA recently started using satellite carrier systems as a backup for all phone traffic. You just have to reconfigure the embedded decryption program to... Got it.
That's it. McCarthy's call is made from an apartment building, 4332 Florence Avenue.
Did you copy that, Jack?
Yeah, do we know which apartment?
No, there's no way to tell. They tap directly into the building's trunk line.
Our men are ready to move. Have tactical meet us over there. Tell them to set up a perimeter. Stay out of sight.
Understood.
1:31. Jack leaps into one of the TAC team SUVs and they move out at speed. Back at CTU.
Good work, Milo.
Sir, it wasn't me.
If you think she's ready, bring her back in.
Milo nods. The lift doors in President Palmer's bunker slide open to reveal Assad escorted by an armed guard. Palmer stands, arms crossed, to receive him.
Mr. Al-Assad, right this way.
Assad is led into the presidential office.
I've checked out your background. Despite my understandable skepticism, I do believe you're serious about wanting this negotiated peace.
On my own terms, yes.
Let's table your terms for the time being while we discuss mine. My country, sir, has suffered a nuclear attack by the very same terrorists who used to follow you. Thousands of innocent Americans are dead or dying as we speak.
I am aware of the tragedy in California, Mr. President. I was there.
Then you understand that if Fayed successfully detonates any more nuclear weapons on U.S. soil, there will be no chance whatsoever for a peace agreement. The American people are demanding that we strike back. And not just at organizations such as yours, but at the governments that support them. Now, if just one more nuke goes off, one more, we won't have a choice. You understand me? We're talking about war.
You don't have to tell me what is at stake. But I still don't understand what you want from me.
I would like you to appear on television and make a public address to the world. Declare your intentions for peace and appeal to members of Islamic communities everywhere to come forward with any information regarding Fayed.
You flatter me if you think I hold sway over all Islam.
No, sir, not all. Just the extremists who share your hatred of the West. I certainly can't reach out to them for help, but I know you can.
But
Perception is everything, Mr. President. So I must present my agenda to my own people in my own time, not by appearing on American television from the White House. Fayyad has already called me a traitor. And many others will follow him if there is even a suspicion that I am an American puppet.
Not a puppet, a partner, at least when it comes to finding these nuclear weapons. Now that is what we have to be for your peace initiative to have any chance of working. So get used to it. And between you and me, sir, I really don't give a damn how and when you wanted to present your agenda. The time is now. You want to lead this peace initiative? Then lead.
End of part two. Part three.
Who's in command?
Agent Turner.
Agent Turner, what's the status of your perimeter?
It's in place. We've got agents in plain clothes covering the exits to the building. We have three TAC teams in position to move in on your command.
Do you have confirmation that Fayyad's in the building?
Not directly, but the building manager ID'd Morris O'Brien entering the building with a woman less than 20 minutes ago. We assume the woman is the driver your witness saw shoot McCarthy. There are no cameras in the building. We don't know what apartment or floor they're on. CTU is patched in and awaiting your word.
Thank you.
1:34. Jack accompanies Turner to the rear of one of the SUVs in which sits a video link. Turner switches on a radio transceiver. Jack screws an earpiece into his ear.
Bill, is Jack, do you copy?
Yes, Jack, go ahead.
I'm in the staging area. We have confirmation that Morris is inside the building. We do not have confirmation on Fayyad. There are no cameras in the building. Do you have infrared satellite?
We can't get a live feed, but we have a satellite position uploading images at five-minute intervals.
Latest scan shows 215 people in the building spread out over six floors and 112 apartments.
It's going to take too long to go room by room. We're going to have to figure out another way to ID them. Is this building on the city's emergency services grid?
Yes, Jack. All buildings over 10 units are required to.
Chloe, it's good to have you back. I need you to get into their system and trigger an all-building fire alarm.
Okay, we just have to get past their login screens.
Let me know when you're ready. Agent.
Jack slips on a bulletproof vest and goes with Turner to the fence, through which they spy on the apartment block. Rita looks on as Fayyad's men continue to torture Morris, now holding his head underwater in the bath. Fayyad looks on coldly as Morris is pulled out, gasping.
Just indicate you'll do what I've asked, and it will stop.
Fayyad looks up. Outside on the street, people are evacuating the building.
People are leaving the building. There really is a fire. What do we do?
Fayyad grabs a rifle and knocks the alarm off the wall.
There's no fire. CTU knows we're here.
I really need to get out of here.
Shut up!
Fayyad grabs a cordless drill with a 20-centimeter bit and strides aggressively back through into the bathroom.
Up against the wall.
Fayyad's henchmen push the terrified Morris against the wall.
Your time is up!
Fayyad drills through Morris's left shoulder. Morris crumples to the floor in a pool of his own blood. His face is contorted in agony. Fayyad, dispassionate to the last, comes to stand over him, clutching his terrible drill.
I will use this all over your body until you die of shock or blood loss. Then I will just find someone else to do what I need. Do you understand?
Look, please, I don't care about the money. I made a mistake. Just let me get out of here. Please.
So, you give up the $7 million, huh?
Yes.
Okay.
Fayyad spins round and callously shoots Rita twice. Her initial reaction is almost one of annoyance, then of shock. The life goes out of her eyes, however, and she crumples down, landing face to face with Morris. Fayyad aims his drill at Morris's back, coming closer and closer with the spinning point.
Stop! Stop! Oh, do it.
Fayette gazes down with quiet satisfaction at the miserable and quivering Morris. 1:43. Tom Lennox sits in his office scanning a document.
Come in.
This memo says Palmer's arranging for Assad to make a televised statement.
I heard.
Not only are we providing free airtime to a mass murderer and avowed enemy of democracy, we are proving terrorism works. Oh. You have my letter of resignation.
No, sir, I don't.
Why not?
Because you can't resign. While this country is being brought to the brink of a nuclear holocaust by a weak, misguided president.
Damn it, Reed. I explained. I cannot get the president to budge on policy. There's nothing I can do about this.
What if I told you that the climate could change?
What does that even mean, the climate?
Well, I'm just saying that there are people who believe, like you, that more aggressive steps need to be taken to crack down on terrorism both here at home and abroad, and that a change in leadership is imperative to ensure this nation's security.
Who?
Excuse me, sir?
Hey, who are these like-minded people we're talking about?
Well, I'm just speaking abstractly. But you'd have to agree that your plan would have all the support it needed if the vice president were the man occupying the Oval Office.
Wait. Now, I may dislike the president's current course of action. I hardly think it warrants his removal.
I'm not talking about holding hearings. Something more immediate would have to happen.
Lennox takes in the enormity of what Reed is suggesting.
Oh, my God. You can't possibly be intimating what I think you are.
I'm not intimating anything. I'm just simply musing.
Careful. That kind of musing gets you thrown into prison for treason.
I'm sorry, sir, that you've misunderstood me.
Yeah, certainly hope so, for your sake. All right. I think you have a letter to draft for me.
Reed, shaken, heads for the door, leaving Lennox sitting at his desk, his eyes wide and intense. At the apartment block.
You need to keep a safe distance away from the building.
Anything from your men on the ground?
They've looked at everyone who's exited the building. There's no sign of Fayette or O'Brien. If they were inside when the alarm went off, they're still in there.
Damn it.
Jack, it's Bill.
Go ahead.
We've got the latest infrared. We're mirroring it to your screen.
Hold on. I've got it. I'm looking at it now.
Okay, there's three people left in the apartments on the second, fourth, and sixth floors.
We need to narrow that down. Chloe, who's renting those apartments?
Superimposing building department schematics and cross-referencing with phone company and police records now. Okay, the woman on the second floor is handicapped. She probably didn't leave because she can't.
The other two apartments are occupied by single males. The man on the fourth floor has been arrested several times for distribution of narcotics.
Fayette wouldn't use anyone with a criminal record to set up a safe house. Our hostiles are in the sixth floor apartment. Get your men ready. Moving in.
All right, let's go.
Morris sits working at a computer screen. Fayette paces.
How much longer?
I don't know.
McCarthy said this is a few minutes' work for an advanced programmer. You're stalling for time.
I am not. It'll be ready in a minute.
Most everybody seems to have evacuated the building. Which is how they intend to find us. At this point, it's only a question of time.
Fayette and his men leave Morris alone working at his screen. Outside in the hallways and stairwells, the TAC team advance on the apartment. 1:47. Jack leads one team up the stairs, a high-powered gun to his shoulder.
Go.
Sounds come from Morris's computer.
Done?
Yes.
Bring it.
One of Fayed's men goes to another room and returns carrying a metal case. Morris looks on appalled.
You have the bombs here.
Just one. Let's see if you did your work correctly.
The device is placed on the table and opened.
Arm it.
Arm it!
Morris picks up the small electronic device and presses buttons. He then hands it to Fayed, as onto the main screen appear the words, Device Armed.
Very good.
Morris sits, his head shaking slightly and his face dark as Fayed takes the bomb and heads out with his men. In the doorway, Fayed turns to one of his henchmen and nods to Morris.
Kill him.
Please, I understood what you asked, didn't I?
Before the man can carry out Fayed's order, the doors are blown in and the TAC team enter. Jack takes out two men with clinical precision. One terrorist dives into a side room. Jack narrowly misses him. Jack takes cover behind the door jamb. He speaks into his transponder. Men smash through the window and kill the terrorist.
All agents, sound off!
He took a head count of the bodies. One hostile's missing. We haven't found Fayed.
Jack spots the open window. Bracing his gun, he walks across and looks down the fire escape. An agent looks up. He looks up onto the roof, to where another agent is stationed.
Clear, sir.
Have your men maintain the search for Fayed. I want them to identify every possible exit from this apartment.
Yes, sir.
What's his status?
He's unconscious and alive.
Chloe is Jack. Morris has been injured, but he's alive.
Mr. Bauer, you need to see this.
Jack walks briskly through into the bathroom. On the floor lies the corpse of Rita. Jack looks beyond this and the blood-stained bath to where on a stool sits the metal bomb case. Jack cautiously crosses the room and kneels by the bomb. Taking a deep breath, he lifts the lid. Inside, the sinister contents flash gently. Inside a glass cylinder, a threaded metal spindle revolves.
CT, this is Bauer. We got a problem.
150. End of part 3. Part 4, 155. At CTU.
Jack, be careful. The bomb has a fail-safe device that prevents any forced entry.
Through the glass casing, I have two small metal plates slowly converging on each other.
Those are the trigger plates, Jack. Once they touch, an electrical charge will detonate the core, causing the nuke to explode. How far apart are they?
Approximately 3 inches.
Okay, that gives us only about 3 minutes. There's a small metal box to the right of it. We need to carefully unscrew the top of it.
Copy that.
Jack gets to work. An agent pulls back a panel to reveal a knotted rope descending into a shaft.
Agent Bauer, we know how Fayed got out. They opened up a wall in one of the closets to get access to the building's ventilation system. From there, Fayed could get to the basement and, in turn, the sewer tunnels.
Did you mobilize your teams to set up a perimeter?
Yes, sir, but we believe Fayed's already gone. Witnesses report a helicopter taking off from a nearby field a few minutes ago. It appeared to be a medical evac chopper, so it got through our net.
Damn it.
Jack works swiftly but cautiously to unscrew a metal plate. Removing it, he reveals a network of revolving cogs.
Top's off. Come on, Chloe, we are running out of time.
Okay. Under the gears, you should see four wires. Short circuit any two of them. That should stop the left gear from rotating. You can access the dip switches underneath it to open the case and manually stop the trigger.
Jack uses a pair of metal tweezers to short two of the wires.
Okay, the left gear stopped moving. I see the dip switches. They're all in the up position. What's next?
Switch 3 and 4 to the down position.
Jack goes in with a small metal screwdriver, pausing to steady his trembling right hand with his left. Locating the two tiny switches, he presses them down. The metal spindle, however, continues to rotate.
Nothing happened. The case didn't open.
It didn't?
It's what I said. It didn't open.
Hold on.
Chloe, we are almost out of time.
Okay, I have an updated schematic. It wasn't switches 3 and 4. You need to push 4 and 5 to the down position, and the cover will open.
Are you sure this time?
I'm about as sure as I'm going to be before this bomb goes off.
As Jack starts work again, the plates take an alarming plunge closer to each other. Jack works intently. At CTU, Milo watches as the counter goes back to 13 seconds. Jack struggles to flick the last of the switches. The plates are now almost touching. The cover flips up. Jack gets his hands in to separate the metal plates. As the device whirs to a halt, Jack slumps back against the bathtub, breathing heavily.
It's done. The bomb is disarmed.
Chloe looks on appalled. Jack gets to his feet and heads back into the apartment.
Notify your men. The bomb's been deactivated. It's over.
It's not over.
What are you talking about?
The reprogramming device that Fayed had me build for him. If it's not here, it means he took it with him. And with it, he can activate the other bombs he has anytime he wants.
You gave him something that worked.
I'm sorry, Jack.
CTU, did you copy that?
We got it, Jack. Alert the president immediately.
Organize 2 teams. One to search the apartment, one to search around the building. Agent O'Brien, I'll tell you what you're looking for.
Yes, sir.
Morris sits on the sofa having his wounds attended to, looking as if he could die of shame. Chloe, crestfallen, walks across the floor of CTU. President Palmer takes the phone call. Fayed sits in the cabin of a helicopter. Lennox looks at his computer screen and reads that Fayed is still at large. He picks up his phone. Reed answers.
Yes, sir.
You see this flash report in from CTU?
I'm reading it now. They let Fayed slip through their fingers. Again.
Apparently he now has the capability to arm these remaining suitcase nukes. This situation is immeasurably worse. You know, my letter of resignation, have you got that?
Yes, I just finished printing it. I can bring it over to you right now.
No. No, just tear that up.
What?
That talk we were having in my office, I don't think I misunderstood you. And I would like to discuss this further.
Not on this phone. I'll let you know when I have a secure location.
Reed hangs up, looks at the resignation letter, and then crumples it into a ball. Lennox stares ahead and bites his knuckles, then takes his head in both his hands. 2 p.m. The end.
If only CTU had access to our files. I've encrypted them, don't worry. Log on to skyone.co.uk/24 to discover what motivates Chloe and how she feels about Jack. And look, there's Kylie on the cover of the Sky magazine. All because Sky Arts launches this month with a documentary on what the pop princess has in her wardrobe. Lots of gold hot pants.